You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Monday, September 29, 2025. Grandpa Dan streaming with you, RadioAlbion.com. It's Daily Mail Monday edition of the Daily Nationalist. Kicking off your work week with a look at some of the headlines and the stories presented in the always respectable Daily Mail. Big story going right now. We had this recent church attack in Michigan against a Mormon church. And what better source to go to for very relevant information than the Daily Mail? Our first headline is, who is Michigan church attacker Thomas Jacob Sanford? Iraq war vet suffered from PTSD and wore Make Liberals Cry Again shirt. The man accused of ramming his car, it was actually a pickup, I believe, into a Mormon church. We're not off to a good start. We're not even one sentence in, and they're getting facts and details incorrect. The man accused of ramming his car into a Mormon church before setting it on fire and shooting at congregants has been identified as Trump-loving Iraq veteran who was struggling with post-traumatic stress disorder. It's going to be real hard because we get a lot of this Trump-loving and things like this in this story, and it's really hard to figure out what that has to do with anything, but it nevertheless, this is the angle we're being presented with. Thomas Jacob Sanford, who commonly went by Jake, was shot dead in the parking lot at the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints in Grand Blanc, Michigan, on Sunday. The 40-year-old father of one killed at least four people and injured eight others during his horrifying rampage. Authorities have since revealed they're still searching the charred wreckage of the church for bodies and admitted, there were an unknown number of churchgoers who remain unaccounted for. According to CNN, that's always a good source for information, that number could be as high as seven. So the big question right off the bat is, why would this guy do this? You know, what is the deal? Now, this article, as we go through it, you're going to find a lot of focus on, you know, his they're even going back and finding tweets from years ago that his family members made and somehow trying to infer and tie this into the story. You have to be curious when you get into a story and none of it, you know, the things they tell you don't make sense. I'm not going into conspiracy land. I'm saying this story really puts an emphasis. We saw it in the first sentence, you know, Trump loving. This is about these people supported Trump. But there's no explanation. What was the motivation? There has to be some kind of motivation here of why this guy did it. There's no hints in the story. Now, you would be fair and say they don't have any information. That's fair enough. They should just say we don't have any information. But they've made the conscious choice to highlight, you know, this guy supported Trump. And what the hell does wearing a shirt that says Make Liberals Cry Again, what does that have to do with the story, with attacking a church? So we have to, again, we're left with guessing. You know, what motivated this guy to do this? You know, I don't think it's a political motivation in and of itself, because that doesn't, I mean, how do you tie that in? Are they, what are they trying to infer here? Trump lovers hate churches or anything, you know, you'd argue against Mormonism being Christianity, but that's not the argument we're having today. For most people, if you ask them, they'd say it's another denomination of Christianity. I don't believe that's correct, but that's irrelevant to what we're talking about today. So, well, what does one have to do with the other? Are we supposed to take away from this that Trump hates Christian churches? I mean, You see what I'm saying? They're not giving us any, they don't have the information. And, you know, the closest thing I could guess, and I'm going to be upfront, that's just a guess, because there's so little information. Maybe we'll get some information as we go along here. But there's, you know, you have, it could be just the guy's a loon, you know, he had PTSD. That's never a good thing. I don't want to sound like I'm making excuses for this guy. You can't, let me back up a little bit. You can't help but to look at this with the backdrop of how the media, not so much regular people, the media played the whole Charlie Kirk thing as, you know, they really hyped. We had the media talking. How many times did the media tell us the alleged shooter in the Charlie Kirk case was living with a transgender? He was living with a transgender. See, this is a case of crazy liberals doing these crazy liberal things. And it's regular people such as myself even, who have been pointing out many of the holes in this story. I mean, the guy was obviously up to something. He wasn't just there minding his own business. But so much of the FBI narrative of the crazy guy living with a tranny is the killer. And we've been pointing that out. Now you have this case, and the media is hyping it the other way. Oh, see, it's the crazy Trump supporters. They've been talking about these dangerous liberals, and see, it's actually the Trump people. Time and time again, people will fall for this nonsense. If I had to guess, going back to what I started to say, if I had to guess, you've got the guy's mentally unstable. And my guess would be, just sum it up, is he was probably some form of atheist spurg. I don't see him saying anything here about the guy claimed to be a Christian. Now, maybe his family would, but the guy, the specific guy, what his mother thinks, his, you know, and his extended family thinks is irrelevant, but we're going to get it in the story anyway. It's what the guy, what motivated the guy? Well, I mean, the most easy, the simplest thing to point to was, he obviously had some mental problems, and he was probably some form of atheist spurg. Moving right along, and as always, I kind of skip through some of this because Daily Mail articles are real wordy with very little information. Pictures taken from, this is what we're going to get here. Pictures taken from social media accounts of Sanford's wife and loved ones reveal that they were a conservative Christian family who were dealing with the stress of their son's devastating congenital hyperinsulinism diagnosis. In one image, Sanford poses alongside his wife and son wearing a pro-Trump shirt with the message, "Make liberals cry again." The shirt, which sells for $15.95 on eBay. What the hell does that have to do with anything? Now we're down to an advertisement for the shirt. Now, I don't know, and I just said, I think the most likely thing is this guy was some kind of atheist spurg, but then they say here that they were conservative Christian family, but they didn't say that about this guy. Let's read that again. Accounts from his wife and loved ones. So now we're talking extended family, like his mother or maybe, I don't know, brothers and sisters. They were a conservative Christian family. Who is they? Does it include the guy, or are they talking about these other people? Let's continue. Sanford's loved ones, including his wife and both his parents, also frequently shared pro-Trump messaging on their social media page. These people didn't kill anybody. This really bugs me. This guy was 40 years old. I mean, he was beyond a grown-ass man. What do his parents' social media posts have to do with anything? And why is this a news story? How are they somehow being associated with this? They have, you know, if you're 40 years old and your parents are running your life, you got problems. I don't think his parents were running his life, and yet they're getting drug out into the media by the Daily Mail over this. On Sunday, just hours before Sanford's name was released to the public, his mother shared a lengthy post about Trump, saying she hoped he would bring tighter rules for Congress members. What does this have to do with the shooting? Are we supposed to just read this and then say, well, then, obviously, yeah, we shouldn't have tighter rules for Congress. Look at this. She's the mother of this guy who attacked a church. Once again, I'm skipping through because they go a whole long segment dissecting his mother's social media posts. I don't see anything about this guy posting things online. It's other people that didn't have anything. Nobody is accusing this guy's mother of having something to do with attacking and killing the church. And look, again, I'm among the people that are saying the narrative that the guy living with a transgender shot Charlie Kirk with a .30-06 is observably bullshit. So you can't just say, oh, you people that aren't liberals, y'all are trying to have it both ways. I call bullshit on that narrative, on that story. I'm not getting into it today because I'm sick of talking about it, and I know y'all are sick of hearing about it, but you can't sit there and say, oh, you're trying to have it both ways. That story is obviously bullshit. And now we're flipping it around here, and they're going on about this guy. There's a whole section I just skipped going on about handpicking out social media posts, not from the guy. If it was from the guy, you could say, okay, well, this gives us an idea, an insight, what might have motivated this guy. All this gives us an insight to is his mother's political views, which are pretty standard, normal, Trump-supporting conservative views. This guy was 40 years old. He was not 12. So what the hell does that have to do with anything? They're trying to link and associate his mother's political views with what this guy does. That has nothing to do. But, you know, that's not enough. Sanford's wife also shared her political beliefs in 2021. Now we're doing his wife. Now, at least this is a closer association. At least she lived with the man. But again, what the hell? She wasn't in the truck. What does his wife have to do with it? These people are being drug into it. They had nothing. You know, they had nothing to do with the act itself. And I just think that's shitty. I think it's unfair. And it wouldn't matter if this guy was a screaming shit lib leftist. I would still think it was shitty and unfair to be dragging his parents out into the and dissecting their social media posts. Or insinuating that his wife had something to do with it. The couple erected a Trump sign outside their home. The family were all Christians who frequently addressed their faith in God. Again, nothing here says. You have to be careful the way they word this thing. Because you read this, you're supposed to say, that's this guy's too. So he was a Christian and he attacked this Mormon church. Now, he may have been. Look, I don't know. But they don't either. You have to really watch the words of the family. They're obviously now they're casting a broad net. They're using his parents. And again, yes, your parents are your family. But what that has to do with your views when you're 40 freaking years old is it has little to nothing associated. Does that make sense? I mean, you yourselves, most of our audience is probably around in, you know, an older age group, say at least middle age. Not to say we don't have young people, but even young people. Your political views, the younger you are, your political views may have something to do with your parents' influence. But when you're 40 years old, you've established your own political views. And I don't see anything. Again, there's no political message here. The insinuation that political views had something to do with it. And so they're casting this broad net of his family were Christians. Again, I don't see anything. They're talking. There's nothing here about his social media. It's his wife's social media posts. Was this guy a Christian? I don't know. I mean, maybe he was. Maybe he claimed to be. Maybe he thought the Mormons were an evil church of Satan, and that's why he attacked it. And that's fine if that was his. Well, I'm not saying that view is fine, and what he did was fine. I'm not saying that in the least. But if that's the case, then do that. But if that was out there, they would have put it in the story. Instead, we're fishing 2021 posts from his wife saying, bring back Trump. Finally, we get this far in the story for them to admit that police have not yet revealed a suspected motive for the attack on churchgoers. They could have just said that at the beginning of the story. Instead, they spent this entire story dissecting his family's social media posts that have nothing to do with a 40-year-old man doing something. And trying to infer, they spent this time in the article inferring a motive. They admit here that police don't have a motive yet. You know, hopefully they find one, because the people who died in this horrific incident, I'm sure they'd like to know why. You know, if you had family and loved ones who died in this horrific incident, I'm sure you'd want to know why this guy did it. But they spent this entire, there is no motive yet. Hopefully we get one. But they spent this entire article inferring that it had what? Something to do with being Christian and something to do with supporting Trump. Which is just, it's just obnoxious. It's just obnoxious and it's stupid. And yet the media does it. Like the saying goes, you may think you hate the media, but you probably don't hate them enough. They spend this entire, imagine you're this guy's parents. Your son is 40 years old and goes and does a horrific thing like this. And you're having to deal with this. Your son has died. He's died committing a horrible crime. And on top of that, you get the Daily Mail and the media dragging out all of your social media posts like you had something to do with it. Absolutely, utterly disgusting. Let's move right along to our next story. NATO could lower the threshold required to shoot down Russian jets following repeated incursions by Putin, senior alliance commander reveals. NATO may soon make it easier to shoot down Russian aircraft after a wave of fighter jet provocations, there we go, on its eastern flank. One of the alliance's top commanders revealed, Admiral Giuseppe Cavo Dragone, chairman of NATO's military committee, confirmed such a move was being considered, but insisted it was too early to decide. Recent hybrid attacks on Russian incursions have sparked outrage among European leaders who have urged NATO to act more firmly. Now, whenever you read this stuff, and these Europe, because at the forefront of this are the Baltics, and you know, then you have the UK doing British things. And the loudest callers for this are these little make-believe countries, what I refer to as make-believe countries, you know, like Latvia and Estonia, that aren't real countries. And when they talk about NATO, like here a while back, I think it was Estonia that was saying they need to be ready to be on the offensive and just go ahead and just attack Russia. And it's interesting to me because all of these countries seem to really think that Article 5, and it's really funny to see Poland fall for this. Like, you know, you remember, over 80 years ago when the British said, don't worry about Hitler, because if he dares to attack you, we totally have your back, and they fell for it. How did that work out? Where were the British swarming into their defense? And they fall for it again. You have these make-believe countries like the Baltics who seem to be under this impression that they can provoke, you know, an attack, you know, get into it with Russia. And because of Article 5 of the NATO thing, the United States is going to rush in and come to their defense. Look, I'm just going to be real with y'all. You know, we have an international audience here. And when I talk about these make-believe countries, I'm not insulting the people there, but your governments suck. But that's okay. All of our governments suck. But the United States is not going to come and go into a war with Russia over Estonia, Latvia, Moldova. Hell, they're not even going to do it over Poland. I don't think for a minute Russia has any plans to attack these countries. You know, they, like, why would Russia intentionally launch a bunch of duct tape together drones to crash into the countryside in Poland? Exactly what does this accomplish? This claim that Russian fighter jets crossed the border of one of the make-believe Baltics, and they haven't presented any evidence of this yet. They're just claiming that happened. Look, even if Russia, because I've been saying for a while now, that if Russia wanted to destroy NATO, what they should do is pick a Baltic country and just go in and kick the shit out of them. Because you could do it in a day. I mean, come on. Lithuania? I mean, you know, how would, if they really wanted to, how would they could just roll in there and kick it over in a day? And then, you know what the United States is going to do? They're not going to do shit. I'm going to tell you, the United States isn't. the technicality of that whole Article 5 thing is there's nothing in there that says they got to go to war on your behalf. Everybody likes to interpret it that way. But if you get into it, it doesn't. It just says you have to come to their support and their aid. It doesn't specify. They could just go to the UN and the aid could be going to the UN and condemning Russia's actions in this case. And that's all you're going to get. I don't know. But if you think for a minute, and because the truth needs to be said, I think the truth is important. The truth needs to be said, if you think the United States is going to come and fight a war with Russia over your little shithole make-believe country, which is probably a really nice country. I'm not trying to be insulting here, but it just wears thin with this yapping nonsense. You ought to just shut the hell up and make nice with everybody. That's what I would do. If I was running your country, if said, hey, Dan, this isn't a real big country, we'll let you run it. Hell, you got to be better than the people we got. The first thing I would do is try to get along with everybody. They'd probably be pretty tough, but that's what I would do. When you're a little teeny tiny country that any of the big powers could kick over in an afternoon, you try to make it to where nobody wants to do that. If you are under any illusions that the United States, in order to save face, is going to fight a war with Russia over you, you're mistaken. And again, Poland has no excuse. You know, the British basically gave you the same guarantees before World War II, and we see how that worked out for you. Not only did they not defend you from Hitler, they stood by and sat in the chair while you were getting threesome tag team by Germany and the Soviet Union and watched you get... Try not to be vulgar here, but you know what we're saying. They're getting it from both ends, and Britain sat back and watched. You think the U.S. is going to do different? And they act like they're going to, though. We can totally depend on America. Let me tell you, America will come to the defense of one country and one country only, regardless of the cost. And, of course, we know that country is not the United States. It's Israel. At the end of the day, the U.S. will fight a losing war with the entire face of the planet if it has to do with Israel. Estonia is not Israel. I'm sorry. You're not. And they're not going to go fight for you. So you might as well just stop all this nonsense. Say, yeah, oh, well, this is technically an incursion. Look, shut up. They're not going to come fight for you. If you want to go take on Russia, I mean, have at it. You're going to lose. That's why you won't actually do it. You just keep talking shit from the sidelines. But by all means, if you're going to do it, get after it. We'll see how that works out for you. But don't have any illusions that America's coming to fight for you. Your name, if your name isn't Israel, they're not going to come fight for you, period. This idea that you obviously have, look, if I can tell it's obvious, everyone else can tell it's obvious. This idea that you have, that you can create a situation where you can force the United States to come in and fight for you. You're dreaming. I'm telling you, it's not going to happen. They'll fight for Israel. That's it. Not you. Let me be more specific. If Russia invaded Alaska and at the same time attacked Israel, who do you think is going to get defended first? Alaska or Israel? Yeah, I mean, oh, but they're going to totally come fight for Poland. And even if they did, they won't. I can 100% guarantee you they wouldn't. But even if they did, where do you think the fighting's going to take place? It'd be like having two giants duking it out on your little 2-square-foot plot of land that you own. Regardless of how the fight comes out, your country's going to be destroyed. But your dumb shit leaders, they're going to be flown off and they're going to be sitting somewhere safe while the rest of you get stomped on. And now we'll jump to another story on this same line. Putin defeated in Moldova elections. I didn't know Putin was on the ballot. As pro-EU party trounces Russian-backed opposition, who immediately call for protests and threaten not to recognize the results. Moldova's ruling pro-EU party scored a major victory in the country's... Look, they squeaked through with just over 50%. I can save you. I just wanted to talk about this topic, and I don't need to go through this ridiculous Daily Mail story that talks about what a stunning victory this is for my Sandu and the pro-EU party. They squeaked out just over 50%. They shut down polling stations where people might vote for an opposition party. But that was really largely irrelevant because they have spent the last, say, year or so arresting opponent politicians, outlawing opposition parties, forcing people in opposition parties to flee the country, bringing bogus criminal charges against any opposition countries. And this is our democracy. This is your values of who you are. They shut down polling stations where people might vote another way. And you know how they got their squeaked over 50% victory? Ballots from out of the country. That's right. People not even there in the country voted for them. Now, it's presented as this is the diaspora. This is the people, the Moldovans who live in other parts of Europe who are overwhelmingly voting pro-EU. But how do we even know that's real? Does anybody really think that the EU is above vote fraud? Really? I hope not. This is this whole story is this whole glowing thing about this big win from Maya Sandu. And the reality is they've spent all this time banning people, blocking people, arresting people, outlawing opposition parties to the point, and then bringing in all these votes from outside of the country so she could her party could squeak just over the finish line. Ain't even a real damn country. Ain't even a real country, and y'all ain't even got a real leader. Look at this dumb bitch. She's just like that Kala Kajas or whatever her name is from Estonia. Make-believe countries with make-believe leaders with make-believe elections. Everything in clown world is fake and gay, but what isn't fake and gay is our final story, because I like to have a humorous note. Plus-size rapper. You've probably heard of this person because he's very well famous. No, he's not famous. I have no idea who this is. Plus-size rapper Dank DeMoss settles lawsuit with taxi company after driver refused to take her because of her size. A plus-size rapper has settled a lawsuit with taxi giant Lyft after one of their drivers refused to take her because of her size. Detroit rapper Dank DeMoss, whose real name is Dajua Blanding, filed a discrimination lawsuit in January after being told by a Lyft driver that she was too big for his car and could burst his tires. Blanding said in a past social media post she weighed over 500 pounds and previously shared in December that she was intending to lose weight and had lost over 40 pounds. Blanding, who filmed a video of the incident, told him, "I can fit in this car," to which he said, "Believe me, you can't." You can't. The driver then apologized and suggested she order an Uber XL, a larger and more expensive vehicle, adding that he would refund her Lyft so she wouldn't be charged. Sounds like the guy was, I'm honest, the guy sounds like he was being pretty reasonable. Her attorney, Zach Runyon, told local media earlier this month that the matter has now been resolved, but could not speak about further details. Runyon, along with Blanding's other attorney, Jonathan Marco, argued that the driver refusing to take her constituted discrimination because weight is a protected characteristic in Michigan. "I knew that it was illegal. I knew that it was wrong," Marco told Fox 2 at the time, equating the refusal to pick up Blanding to no different than refusing someone transportation based on their race or religion, except their race and religion ain't going to break the damn car. The guy told her, "I can't take you. You're not going to fit." He refunded the money, told her other options. "You can order a bigger truck." She didn't want to pay for the bigger car with such a successful rap career. I don't know why she didn't order the big XL car to fit her big XL self. Runyon added, "Refusing someone transportation based on their weight is not only illegal, but dangerous. Imagine the consequences if Miss Blanding were unable to seek shelter after the driver left her stranded. This could have ended even worse than it did." I don't think she was in much danger. I'm not going to lie. Though she may have settled with Lyft, the incident left her feeling scarred at the time. "I've been in cars smaller than that." I doubt that. Now, there is, they did put the video with the story because she shot a video, but she didn't ever look at where we could see what the car looked like. She just filming the door of the car, which tells us nothing. She says she could have fit in there. I don't think so. I think the guy was right. She says she's fit in cars smaller than that. I would have liked to see evidence of that. I just want to know that it hurt my feelings. Let me tell you, that ain't the only thing been hurting. That car would have been hurting. After Blanding shared the video to her Instagram, Minnie jumped to the driver's defense and said she should have just listened to his recommendation to order a larger XL. It's against the law to overload a car, one commenter said in response. The driver was very polite. He explained his valid reasons and even apologized. Try seeing things from another's perspective. The Daily Mail has contacted Lyft for comment. There's so much I could say. And I will probably use a picture from the story and you can decide if you were the Lyft driver and you were in your car, whether or not you would think this person would fit in there. Again, I wish they would have told us what exactly the car was, because in the video she shot with her camera, all she's doing is shining it at one door. She's lucky that the Lyft driver, you know, was just being straight up. Because, see, I would have probably, like, if I was a Lyft driver, I'd have been like, well, if you insist, but just to protect myself from any liability and blame, let me get out here and film you stuffing your both of your big asses, because there's one in the front and one in the back. Let me film you stuffing yourself in this car. Because if you can't, I don't want you coming back and blaming me. See, for liability, I'm going to film you. I'm going to film you getting in there. Because I'm doubtful. But anyway, at the end of the day, these companies will... This story's written like Lyft has admitted they've done. You know, the truth of the matter is, another one of those frivolous lawsuits is what it is. And these companies will just settle these out of court because it's cheaper than paying attorneys to fight them in court. So they settle them out of court. She probably got $20,000 or something and they went on. Her lawyers look like a couple really outstanding dudes. You know, you got militarized police violating people's civil rights left and right in America today. And this is what lawyers are doing. Yes, I think lawyers share some blame here. Lawyers chasing a quick buck for some bullshit like this. Meanwhile, if you get your Fourth Amendment, First Amendment, whatever amendment rights violated by some random cop, good luck. Good luck going and finding you a civil rights lawyer who will take your case and try to help you hold the police accountable. Good luck with that. But hey, if you can't stuff yourself in a Lyft, you got not one, but two Johnnies on the spot to take your case. As I said, I'll put the picture from the article up for the story itself. We'll use that for our headline picture. And you yourself decide. You take a look at your own personal car. And you yourself decide. Would this... what we should do a poll. If I had ability to put up a poll here for the show, I would put up a poll. Would her dankness, Dank DeMoss, would Dank DeMoss fit in your car? And be interesting to see how that turned out. We're going to wrap up on that note. I will be back tomorrow. I have every intention to be back tomorrow with the Parish of the Patriots program. I have not, I'll admit, I have not recorded it yet. I've been really, really busy. But I have every intention to get it done, and I'll have that up for you, God willing, tomorrow. Dr. Johnson will be here Wednesday with the Orthodox National. And as always, we wrap up on Thursdays here because I'm doing enough. I can barely keep up with what I got. We do 4-day work weeks here at Radio Albion. We have proverbial banker's hours. Hopefully that will be changing soon. But I appreciate it. I hope you get a chance to check out all our content for this week. As always, keep the faith, and we'll see you next time.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.